The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of The Country Where Death Is Not features violence, murder, and other disturbing themes. Please exercise caution for children under 13. Nia couldn't bring herself to watch the marking of her husband's grave. The finality of it was just too much. While the rest of the village gathered outside her home for the laying of the ox horns, Nia sat inside. For the moment, she was out of tears. Her husband, Dak, had been a great provider, but he was a hard man. He demanded so much from their son, Lam. She always tried to overcompensate for Dak's lack of affection, but now that he was gone, she was plagued with doubt. Lam was a good boy, but could he be the man that Dak was? Had she been too lenient on him? It was Dak that kept the lions from the fields. It was Dak that brought in the wheat. She didn't know if Lam was ready. God forbid something happened to her, too. Then what would happen to Lam? Nia stared at her hands, already wrinkled and spotted with age, and broke down sobbing. The idea of leaving her son alone terrified her. In the next moment, Lam opened the door, his dirt-stained face streaked with tears, and told her, "It's done. He's really gone." But Nia couldn't look at her son. She dropped her head and prayed for relief, something that might lighten their burden. She would do anything, go anywhere to ensure their survival, even if it meant defying death itself. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Parcast original. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Tales for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Tales in the search bar. Today we're telling the story of The Country Where Death Is Not, a Sudanese folktale about an aging mother's journey for a land where she can live forever and the dark reality of her discovery. We'll discuss the origins of this tale right after this. The Country Where Death Is Not comes from the Shilluk people of South Sudan. While South Sudan exists today as an independent nation, for decades it was merged with its northern neighbor into a single country, simply called Sudan. In Sudan, oral storytelling was a key means of dispersing tradition throughout generations. For that reason, we don't know exactly when The Country Where Death Is Not originated. However, it was first published in 1912 by missionary and author Diedrich Westerman in his book titled The Shilluk People, Their Language and Folklore. Unlike the northern part of the country, South Sudan never unified behind a singular identity. Instead, the South remained a land of diverse kingdoms and languages, but without a collective resistance, its people were in constant danger from outside forces. In the 1800s, South Sudan was frequently attacked by forces from the north, as well as by slave raids led by the Arab and Ottoman armies. Though all of South Sudan was vulnerable, the egalitarian and agrarian society of the Shilluks was particularly at risk. The Country Where Death Is Not acts as a warning to young Shilluks, a grim reminder that beyond the safety of the tribe lies mortal dangers. Lam stood watching over the cattle. Like most mornings, he had spent every day of his adult life in the fields next to his father, Dak. It was a humble existence, but one that Lam enjoyed, especially tending the cows. Every time he looked into their large, soulful eyes, he felt they understood exactly what he was thinking. But that morning was different. He was alone in the field for the first time, and he could tell his herd sensed something was wrong. Lam and his mother, Nia, had just buried his father the day before. Lam was heartbroken, but he tried to put on a brave face for his mother. It was hard for him to see her in such pain. She cried constantly, and when she wasn't crying, she would simply stare off into the distance. She'd hardly spoken since it happened. That morning, she didn't even acknowledge him when he left the house. Now alone in the field, holding his father's staff, Lam began to break down. His tears turned to sobs as he sunk to his knees in the tall grass. For the first time in days, he finally felt he could grieve on his own. But his mourning didn't last long. He heard Nia call for him off in the distance. Worried that something was wrong, Lam took off in a sprint toward the house, drying his eyes as he ran. He couldn't let his mother see his heartbreak. "I'm here, Mother. Are you all right?" Lam asked. Nia tried to smile at him, but it quickly faltered. He could see her fighting back the despair. Lam sat down beside her, and Nia rested her head on his shoulder. Then, for the first time in days, she began to speak. She spoke softly. "Would you have time to run to the market this afternoon? My appetite is coming back." Lam didn't want to leave the cows in the middle of the day, but he couldn't deny her request, not now. So he nodded his head. Of course he would go. Lam walked through the market quietly, keeping his head down. He didn't want to invite any small talk. After his father's death, the words of condolence and pity only made him feel worse. He tried to fill his basket as quickly as possible, but something off in the distance caught his eye. It was a strange table, one he hadn't seen before, full of wild and colorful blankets and animal skins. Slowly, he worked his way toward the booth. As he got closer, he realized the trader manning the table was just as unusual as his wares. He was short and fat, with a leopard pelt slung across his shoulders and a broad smile stretched across his face. He looked almost peculiar, beaming from behind those strange, vibrant blankets. Before Lam even reached the table, the trader called out to him.
"Wenyan will have something to cheer you up, young man."
Lam looked around, searching for this Wenyan person, before realizing that the trader was speaking about himself. How strange, Lam thought. But the man's warm smile was disarming, and soon Lam found himself walking up to the table. Lam looked over Wenyan's goods in awe. The skins were even more beautiful up close. He had never seen such intricate markings. But that wasn't all. Next to the skins were unusual horns and knives made of bone. Lam was amazed.
Where did you get such wonderful things?" he stammered.
Wenyan leaned over the table, smiling. He explained he was from a distant country, down through the valley, between the edge of the forest and Lake No. He insisted it was unlike any place Lam had seen. It was a magical land. That's why he could bring such unique pelts to market. Lam stared at him, eyes wide.
"How can a place be magical?"
Wenyan gestured for Lam to come closer. He then draped his arms around him and whispered,
"Because in my country, there is no death."
Lam shoved Wenyan away, knocking him against the table. His grief was too raw for this stranger's cruel jokes. He hovered over Wenyan, fists clenched. Wenyan held up his hands in surrender, the smile on his face fading, but not entirely gone.
"My apologies, young man. Clearly, death is a sensitive subject for you. It is for all people, I suppose, at least for those who live outside my village."
Tears welled in Lam's eyes as all of his emotions came flooding back. He willed himself to swallow them and backed away from the trader. But before he could flee from embarrassment, Wenyan reached out and hugged him.
Lam was shocked, but quickly felt himself letting go in the stranger's embrace. It was the first time someone recognized his pain and not just his mother's. Wenyin then pulled the leopard pelt off his back and laid it across Lam's shoulders.
"Take this for my rude behavior. My people can be insensitive to those who still experience such loss."
Lam managed a weak, "Thank you," and backed away from the booth. But as he walked back toward the market, Wenyin called out to him,
"What is your name, my friend?"
He turned and answered, "Lam." Wenyin's smile grew wide again.
"You are welcome to visit my village anytime, Lam. We love having new people."
As he walked home, Lam couldn't shake his interaction with the unusual trader. Surely he had to be joking. There was no such thing as a country without death. It wasn't possible, was it? He rolled the thought over and over in his mind, and before he knew it, he was back at his house. Lam dropped the basket of vegetables in front of his mother and headed back for the field, ready to be back with his cows. But before he could step outside, Nia called out to him,
"Where did you get such a beautiful pelt?"
Lam snapped out of his daze. He had forgotten he was still wearing the leopard skin Wenyin gave him. He turned and told her all about the strange trader.
"He was the most bizarre man. He wouldn't stop smiling, and he claimed that in his country, there is no death."
His mother stared back at him, mystified. He could tell she was just as consumed by the thought as he was. Lam spent the rest of the day with the cows, playing his interaction with Wenyin over and over in his head. He just couldn't shake the thought. What if it were true? What if this faraway country between the forest and Lake No really didn't have death? As the sun set, Lam returned home. But as he stepped inside the house, he stopped in his tracks. He couldn't believe it. Not only was his mother up, she was singing to herself as she stirred a pot of stew. She smiled at him as he entered, and Lam's heart filled with joy. He hadn't seen her like this since before his father passed. Nia then poured the soup into bowls for the two of them and sat down across from Lam. She took a deep breath before speaking.
"I want to thank you for how strong you've been for me this past week. I know this has been a terrible burden on you, too, but you are the only thing that has gotten me through."
Lam reached over and took her hand. It was always going to be tough, he told her, but they would make it. Nia paused, then said,
"Yes, but not here."
Lam looked at her, confused. She continued,
"I've decided we're going to leave in the morning, as soon as you can find someone to tend the cows."
Stunned, Lam began rattling off a series of questions. Where were they going? Why did she want to leave their village? Nia poked the leopard pelt still hanging around his shoulders.
"I have no desire to die, so we are going to the country where death is not."
Coming up, Lam and Nia set out to find Wenyin's village. Now, back to our story. After an encounter with a mysterious trader, Lam told his mother Nia about a strange land where no one dies. Soon, overcome with grief at the loss of her husband, Nia decided they would leave their village and find the land themselves. Lam tried to protest,
"But we don't know this place exists. We can't just wander through the wilderness looking for it."
But Nia had made up her mind. If there was any chance this country was real, they had to find it. She stood and walked out of the room, the decision already made. The next morning, Lam returned to the market, hoping to find Wenyin, but the trader was gone. Lam would have to find his own way to the village with the few directions he had, somewhere to the west between the forest and Lake No. When he returned home, he was surprised to find his mother was up. She had already prepared their supplies and filled their water skins.
"We can't waste any time, my son. Which way to the country?"
Nia asked cheerfully. Lam couldn't bring himself to admit he didn't know. Instead, he nodded toward the river.
West down the White Nile. It'll be a few days, but just follow me. I'll take care of you.
While he didn't know where they were going, Lam was sure of that last part. He would take care of his mother, no matter what. Lam and Nia traveled all day, past their neighboring villages and away from the roaming cattle of the farthest Shilluk tribes. They were already further from home than he'd ever been before. As the sun faded, the road took a turn south along the river, headed straight into the rainforest. When they entered, the thick green canopy blocked out the last rays of light. Soon, they would be in total darkness. Lam stopped on the trail, gazing at the dying light.
Perhaps we'll make camp here tonight. We shouldn't risk wandering in the dark.
But Nia shook her head.
Wrong, my son. It would be a risk not to get to this village as soon as possible. Nothing will harm us there.
Trekking in the dark made Lam uneasy, but his mother was stubborn. He knew there was no stopping her tonight. So he pushed away his fears, and they walked into the trees. The trail into the jungle was completely overgrown with brush, making it almost impossible to navigate. But above the roar of the nearby river, Lam could make out the sound of something else. Drums. It was faint and distant, but it was unmistakable. He took his mother by the arm and guided her along the dark path. With each step they took, the drumbeat grew louder, until finally the glow of a distant fire broke through the night. It was a village. But this wasn't the one Wenyan described. Lake No was still miles away. They were wandering into unknown territory. Lam gripped his club tight. He had no idea what they were about to encounter, but he had to prepare for the worst. As they drew closer, a voice called out,
"Hurry, get inside!"
Lam looked up to see a guard waving them toward the village. There were lions about, the man explained. They shouldn't be wandering the roads late at night. Lam relaxed. They had come across a welcoming village. They were safe. He politely stepped toward the guard.
"Hello, we're looking for my friend Wenyan. Do you know him? Is this his village?"
The guard shook his head. He didn't know anyone named Wenyan, but he ushered them into the town anyway.
"I don't have the heart to leave strangers in the wilderness while lions roam nearby. Please, please come in. My people have been preparing a feast. You can be my guests."
Lam thanked him profusely, but as the guard guided them into the village, Nia could hold her tongue no longer.
"Is this the country without death?"
Lam, embarrassed, nudged his mother to be quiet, but it was too late. The guard turned back and looked at her as if she'd grown a second head.
"What kind of question is that? Of course people die here. Everyone dies."
Nia's heart sank. She pulled on Lam's arm. She wanted to continue traveling. This wasn't the village they were looking for. Lam took her hand.
"We can't stumble through the jungle at night. You must rest."
Nia didn't bother trying to hide her disappointment as her son dragged her into the village. That night, the villagers were just as kind and welcoming as the guard, and the feast was more than the simple dura Lam was used to. There was a full roasted goat, along with fruits and squashes, the likes of which he'd never seen. Lam couldn't help but get swept up in the joyful atmosphere. For a brief moment, he put the grief of his father's death behind him. He danced and sang and traded stories with his new friends as if he'd always been a part of their village. It might not be the land without death, but it was a wonderful place. Lam awoke the next morning, surprised to see Nia already up. She had everything packed, ready to go, determined to make it to Wenyan's village.
"Why are you in such a hurry?"
Lam asked his mother, but the question seemed to offend her, and she didn't dignify it with a response. With his mother leaving him no other option, Lam reluctantly thanked the guard for his kindness, and they left the friendly village behind. As they walked, the morning fog still hovered above the ground. Lam followed the western road beside the river, hoping he was still on the right path. When they finally emerged from the forest and toward the grassland, he was relieved. This sounded more like the place Wenyan had described. But as the day dragged on, they still saw no sign of civilization, and without shade, the sun beat down on their backs. Lam tried to get Nia to rest, but she refused to stop, and Lam himself was growing exhausted. He wasn't sure how his elderly mother was pushing through the heat, but soon he snapped out of his haze. There was something rustling in the brush. Lam scanned the tall grass, his grip tightening on his spear. Something was stalking them, but he couldn't make anything out. He moved in front of Nia, standing between her and the noise. Nia screamed as a lion leapt out of the grass, landing right in front of them. For a moment, Lam stood frozen. He'd never seen one so close before. It was huge. He lunged at it with his spear, but the big cat swatted it away effortlessly. Then it moved closer, ready to pounce. Lam pulled back, ready to swing again as the big cat reared up on its hind legs. The lion froze in midair as two spears pierced its side. Then it fell to the ground in a heap, dead. Lam spun around, looking for the source. He didn't know if they were saved or if he would have to fight off a second attack. His heart was racing as he heard yet another rustle in the brush. Two hunters emerged from the tall grass. They were broad-shouldered and a full head taller than Lam. One rushed toward Nia. Lam lifted his club, ready to strike, but before he could jump in to protect his mother, he realized they were making sure she was safe. Lam lowered his club, relieved. He thanked the other hunter, but the man narrowed his eyes as he spoke. He asked, "Are you two Shilluk?" Lam felt uneasy again as he answered, "We are." The hunter's scowl curled into a smile.
"I knew it. Only the Shilluk would be brave enough to cross the grassland alone."
The two hunters laughed, and soon so did Lam. They all then introduced themselves. The hunters invited them back to their village. It was nearby. They could get them water and let them rest. Lam and Nia eagerly agreed, and soon they were walking and chatting with the hunters. As they got closer, Lam was amazed by what he saw. The valley was lush, with rows of sorghum waving in the breeze as far as he could see. It looked like they had never had a bad season. Nia wrapped one arm around one of the hunters.
"It's just like I imagined. This must be the land without death."
Suddenly, the hunters stopped dead in their tracks. Lam jumped in, trying to clarify that a friend had told him there was a country without death. They were merely trying to find it. But the hunter stopped him mid-sentence, voice trembling.
"Turn back now."
The men refused to take them another step. Lam and Nia would no longer be welcomed in their village. If they chose to continue their journey, they would have to travel on alone. One of the men gave Lam his water and grabbed his arm. He pulled him in close and whispered,
"Do not step foot in this village. Every country has death, especially the one you seek."
The words cut Lam to the quick. Whatever laid ahead of them terrified even the bravest men. But as Lam turned to Nia, he saw she was already walking down the road. She would never turn back. He pulled his arm away from the hunter and thanked him for the water. Then he ran after Nia, away from the lush green fields. As they walked, the river guided them out of the grasslands and toward the marsh. Soon, clouds formed overhead and the sky went dark. A light rain started to fall. Lam knew if they didn't find shelter, they would be in trouble. But as they followed the river, it began to grow wider, and soon it wasn't a river at all, but a vast lake. It was Lake No, and on the far side, just between the water and the forest, sat a village. It was unlike any place Lam had ever seen, fortified with high walls, painted with elaborate symbols. It was just as Wenyan had described. This had to be it. Lam hurried Nia along the river toward the village. To his surprise, the gates opened as they approached, almost as if they were expecting them. All eyes watched them as they entered. It looked like the whole village was gathered there, yet no one came to greet them. They just stared. "We must be the first visitors they've had in a long time," Lam thought. He scanned the faces in the crowd, landing on a wide, familiar smile. It was Wenyan. Wenyan pushed through the crowds and wrapped Lam in a hug. Lam embraced him, laughing. He introduced him to his mother, but Nia didn't bother saying hello. She simply asked the question that had been weighing on her mind for days. "Is this the land without death?" Wenyan reached out to her and gently stroked the old woman's cheek. "You can put your mind at ease, sister. There is no death here." Coming up, Nia discovers that her paradise isn't what it seems. Now, back to our story. After traveling for days, Lam and Nia finally found Wenyan's home, the country where death is not. Tears streaked down Nia's face. They had made it. The village was real. She embraced Wenyan. He smiled and kissed her forehead. He then put his arms around Nia and Lam and turned to the crowd.
"These are my Shilluk friends. They have traveled a long way to escape death."
As soon as Wenyan introduced them, the villagers' icy demeanor faded. Cheers rang out. As everyone rushed to meet them, Lam was struck by how young the villagers were. His mother had to be twice the age of anyone there. Not only was there no death, no one appeared to age. Soon the crowd led them into a big tent with music. The villagers honored their guests with unusual delicacies. Lam had never tasted finer beer, and the meat was unrivaled. Then, halfway through the meal, he heard a sound he hadn't heard in weeks, his mother laughing. Lam smiled, tears coming to his eyes. All he had wanted was her happiness. The entire journey had been worth it. He turned to Wenyan and beamed, "You were right to call this a magical place." The next morning when she awoke, Nia's mind was already made up. They were going to stay in this village forever. It was the perfect home for her and her son. She waited patiently for Lam and Wenyan to stir, and as soon as they did, she told them about her decision. Wenyan was delighted. He even offered his home to them until they could get their own in order. Lam, meanwhile, was speechless. Nia turned to her shocked son and told him he would need to trek back to their old village to gather their things and sell the cows. Then he was to come back as soon as he was able. Lam started to protest. Was she truly ready to turn her back on everything they'd ever known? Their family? The house his father had built? Nia answered without hesitation. "It's a small price to pay for immortality, for the peace of knowing I will never have to leave you." Her words pierced Lam. She was doing it for him. And how could he argue with her? Of course he didn't want his mother to die. Plus, she was finally happy. That was the only thing that really mattered to him. So that morning, Lam gathered his things and headed east, back toward the Shilluk village. Nia hated the thought of being away from her son, even for a couple of days, but she knew that soon enough they would be together forever. Her first day in the village was magical. She spent it eating and conversing as each of her new neighbors stopped by to introduce themselves and presented her with gifts of fresh fruit. Many confessed that it had been quite some time since they had seen an elderly person. Many even asked to touch her wrinkly skin. It was odd, but she loved the attention. That night, as Nia laid awake in bed, she couldn't help but think of how much things had changed in just the last few days. A week ago, her village was sharing their condolences for the death of her husband. Now, a whole new village was coming by to congratulate her on her immortality. Nia smiled. For the first time since Dak died, everything felt right. But when the sun came up the next morning, something was different. Off. When she opened her eyes, there was a dull ache. She had a headache. The days of endless walking had caught up with her. She got up and tried to go about her morning, but the headache lingered. She needed to go back to bed. Soon, Wenyan returned from the market, surprised to see Nia lying down. He sat beside her, concerned. For the first time, Nia noticed Wenyan wasn't smiling. She tried to wave him away, explaining it was just a headache, that was all. Wenyan stood up, alarmed.
"This is not good. We will need to take your pain away."
He then looked at her, a sadness in his eyes.
"I'm sorry, Nia."
Wenyan then hurried to the door. Nia tried to stop him, to tell him there was no need to make such a fuss about a headache. But it was too late. Wenyan was out the door before she finished her sentence. Nia waved it off. All she needed was a nap. The beat of drums jolted Nia awake. She sat upright, startled to see Wenyan sitting on her bed, staring at her. She thanked him for his concern, but assured him her headache was gone. But Wenyan didn't listen. Instead, he took her hand and pulled her out of bed.
"Come with me. We will cure your malady."
Confused, Nia followed him. As they walked out of the house, Nia was surprised to see the entire village was in front of Wenyan's home, and all eyes were on her. She tried to shout to them that she was fine, her headache was gone, but no one seemed to listen. They only stared. Wenyan then dragged her through a human tunnel of grasping hands. The villagers reached for her wrinkled arms and graying hair. She squirmed, dodging them as best she could. When they finally stopped, she realized they were standing in front of the festival tent. Inside, the fires were lit, but there was no goat or cow on the spit. Wenyan sat her down at the head of the table as the rest of the village took their seats. Nia looked around. She thought the villagers were smiling at first, but then she realized it was more like panting. They looked ravenous and deranged. Nia felt her body flood with panic. Then a hush fell over the crowd. Wenyan's voice trembled as he spoke.
"Nia is sick. We must eat her before her flesh spoils."
Nia looked around wildly and saw Wenyan's hand gripped around a club. The reality hit her. Trembling, she began to shout over the hysteria.
"I'm not sick!"
She tried to stand, but Wenyan shoved her back down into her chair. He raised the club above his head, shouting,
"There is no death here!"
and swung it down. The club cracked across Nia's head, sending her out of her chair and onto the ground. She tried to call out for Lam, but before the words left her throat, a second blow came down and connected, shattering her skull. Blood pooled around her body as the crowd descended upon her, hands grasping at her wrinkled skin and gray hair. But this time, there was no squirming away. Nia was dead. After days of travel back to his home to sell the cows, Lam had nearly made it back to Lake No. He couldn't wait to see his mother and start their new life in Wenyan's village. But waiting for him at the gates was not Nia, but Wenyan, along with the entire village. Lam waved, excited to see his friend's smiling face, but as he scanned the crowd, Nia was nowhere to be found. As he drew closer, Lam couldn't help but notice that Wenyan appeared to have something in his hand. It looked like a sack of money. He smiled at Lam.
"This is for you, my friend."
Wenyan shoved the sack into his hand and hugged him. Lam stared down at the money, confused.
"What is this? Where's my mother?"
Wenyan shook his head. The money was for his mother. She was sick, and they took care of her. Lam still didn't understand. Was she better? Was the money for medicine? Why were they paying him? Wenyan answered calmly,
"I told you, there is no death here."
Lam's mind began to spin. Something was very wrong. He grabbed Wenyan by the arms and asked,
"Where is my mother?"
Wenyan, frustrated, swatted him away.
"She was sick. We ate her."
"There can be no death here. None."
Lam stumbled backwards as the horror set in. He threw up and dropped to his knees. A villager cried out,
"He's sick too."
Suddenly, the crowd advanced, weapons pointed. Wenyan picked Lam up off the ground and looked him in the eye, the smile long gone from his face. He whispered,
"Run."
But Lam froze, staring past Wenyan to the approaching horde. Wenyan shouted,
"Run!"
Lam ran as fast as he could, never looking back until he had made it all the way to the tree line of the forest. Finally, in the clear, he screamed out in pain, tears running from his eyes. He should have known the truth. There was no such thing as a country without death. Lam walked the rest of the way without stopping. But when he returned to his old village, he couldn't bring himself to tell the others what had happened to his mother. Instead, he told them Nia had been eaten by a lion. It was the death reserved for the sinful, but the shame would be easier for him to carry than the reality. It saved his people from knowing the horror that lived on the edge of their lands. The truth, Lam decided, he would save for the next fool that left the safety of the village to chase a demented dream. The Country Where Death Is Not is just one of many stories of cannibalism from Central Africa. The Shilluk used the tale to disparage and otherize their neighbors in an effort to keep their people within the kingdom. But this fear of the other wasn't just about prejudice for the Shilluk, it was about self-preservation. For centuries, the Shilluk relied heavily on oral storytelling to ensure the spread of tradition. However, without a written record, this meant that the entire culture could easily be wiped out. Something as small as a single hunter wandering too far from the village could open them up to slave raids and complete destruction. Their legacy would die with their people. Evil was out in the world, and the safety of the tribe relied on everyone staying together. But stories like The Country Where Death Is not only warns listeners about wandering away from their home, they also teach them to appreciate what they have, that life itself is a gift, and that chasing fantasies can blind you to the beauty of your own world. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next Wednesday with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Tales, for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Tales on Spotify, just open the app, tap Browse, and type Tales in the search bar. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Carrie Murphy, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Aaron Larson. This episode of Tales was written by Jesse Harris, with writing assistance by Greg Castro. I'm Vanessa Richardson.